Right now on VFN TV, Israeli spies save a 5-year-old Syrian girl. They save her life. Amazing story, as well as why do so many American Christians love Israel. We're also going to be talking about child bombers are being used for jihad right now. Horrific thing. As well as a Saudi TV host who condemns terrorism. All happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
So Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America is going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy. You had the riots. We had Vietnam War. We had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. You had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated: I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people who are called by my name will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up
Spirit, and the Spirit is going to rush to you.
That we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. I will surround this land and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski. We're so excited about today's program. You know, if you've been watching the news for any length of time, you know, you're probably familiar with Israel being portrayed in such a negative light. They're very rare, seldomly praised for all the good that really Israel does in terms of innovation, in terms of sharing their technology, in terms of sharing their agriculture and the things they learn. They're consistently sharing it with the nations of the world and blessing the nations of the world. And right now you're seeing a BDS movement that is really, you know, catching a lot of attention, which is the boycott, divestment, and sanction movement to try to alienate, really, Israel from all the other nations of the world. And so whenever we have an opportunity to stand with Israel, and that's something that we do on this program, publicly, prayerfully, financially, we stand with Israel in every way. We want to be able to share those things with you so that you can be reminded of the good and wonderful things that Israel actually does. In fact, we're bringing to you a story today regarding Israeli spies that actually helped to save a Syrian girl's life. I mean, this is not something new for Israel or IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, but these are actual spies that went behind enemy's lines to go bring a family member over. I mean, it's an amazing story. In fact, we want you to watch this.
Countless Syrian civilians have been injured in the country's civil war, and Israel has been helping treat injured Syrians since the start of the conflict. Now it looks like one special 5-year-old refugee is bringing Israeli doctors and spies together, all in an effort to save her life. This particular 5-year-old arrived in Israel after sustaining serious injuries when she was accidentally caught in a firefight between rival groups. The little girl was taken to a hospital in Haifa for treatment, and after her wounds had nearly healed, something devastating happened. Her Israeli doctors realized she has cancer. They, of course, couldn't let her go without treating the cancer, and began the search for a bone marrow donor. Now, this is where the story gets crazy. In the little girl's case, they needed a relative to be the donor, which is how Israeli security services got involved. Israeli spies planned a secret mission to smuggle the 5-year-old's family member in from an enemy country, who finally arrived on Monday. The little girl and her relative are now both quarantined in the hospital, and she's supposed to undergo her first round of cancer treatment this month.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, Israel goes behind enemy lines to bring a family member to save a 5-year-old life. This is happening so many times, and we want to make sure that we let you know so we can let others know. Listen, stand with the nation of Israel. When we get back from this break, we're going to hear about why so many American Christians love Israel. Join us when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
That is the Apostolic Church arising.
We are in a major apostolic reformation season in the church. The church means fellowship in the Bible, but it also means straddle the jail, warring. So in the midst of this season, God is raising up through our fellowship a warring unit that knows how to move forward to accomplish His purposes in the earth. We want you to know that you need to connect with an apostolic movement, or else you need to be a part of building an apostolic structure. And we want to encourage you as you move forward in this season of the church, that you be a part of the Apostolic Church arising.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Absolutely amazing, Steve. I love Israel. We, you know, we had a chance to be in Israel some time ago, and I want to encourage you, if you ever get the chance, you know, I was telling a family member of mine, listen, go. If you ever get a chance, go. You will love being there. It's an amazing just time, because you're if you do like a tour, you know, it's like, oh my goodness, this is where Jesus walked, you know, and this is the Sea of Galilee. And then, you know, this is where Jesus was buried. I mean, it's all these, and it just brings so much of the Bible together for you, and you can have prayer walks and so many just, you know, amazing encounters. But there's nothing like being in Israel. Mm-hmm. I want you to hear about why so many American Christians have a special love for Israel. These are some recording artists, and it's interesting to hear them, you know, what they have to say. Watch this.
I would say one of the highlights of the trip for me was my experience at the Western Wall. And so when I walked up to the wall, I remember putting my hands on it and closing my eyes and lifting just a little prayer to God. And I just had a moment in the midst of my crazy life where I felt loved and known and believed in like I hadn't been in a while.
I felt like I was stepping into a blessed and flourishing and developed and advanced culture and society that was embracing me.
Israel was amazing. I fell in love with the land. I fell in with the people of the land. And of course, I am in love with the Lord of the land.
And we're hearing these lectures and these teachings from people who are living the everyday of today in Israel and what it really looks like. And what does it actually look like to love all the people who live in that place well, even the ones who don't agree with us? That really impacted me. And why being pro-Israel doesn't mean being anti anybody else. You can be pro-Israel and pro-human.
God, why did you bring me here? You know, what is your purpose for bringing me here? And what is the number one thing you want me to walk away with? And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, I wanted to show you my hometown.
Growing up, you always hear, you know, it's important we support Israel. And that's something that, something I always believed, but it's not something that crossed my mind on a day-to-day basis. But going there and seeing that there's real people living there who live lives just like my own, and seeing the things they have to go through, not just believe that I'm supposed to support them, but to feel it and to know that there's a real thing I'm supporting and real people I'm supporting.
One of the things that I experienced when I was in Israel, just posting pictures on my personal Instagram of the scenery and the responses that I was getting, both in comments and direct messages, was just direct hate towards me. But I'm not a Jew. I'm not the one that they're claiming to hate, but yet they're showing hate to me, which makes me wonder why they're hating this general population in the first place. They didn't have a reason to hate me, but yet they were. I feel like that also happens to the Jews, just the hate in general.
Every day that we spent there, I felt like there was a certain pride in the people, and there was a beauty in the land that people acknowledged. And I felt honored and privileged to be in the country of Israel.
As you grow to love Israel deeper and love the Israelis deeper, you actually can love the Palestinians better too.
I didn't understand the importance of making a trip to the Holy Land. I mean, I understood I could see the sights and interact with a few people, but there's something about this place and a trip to this part of the world that will forever change you. And I couldn't encourage you more to say yes to that, to really go for it, to step into the unknown, the mystery of it, and give yourself fully to experiencing what a trip like this could give to you.
Absolutely amazing. Wow. Listen, book your ticket today. You know, if you could go to Israel, definitely go. We have friends in Israel, and there's so many Messianic Christians there as well. And you can pray in Israel. I mean, listen, I went up to the Temple of Mount. I had the chance to pray at the Western Wailing Wall. They say God's mailbox, Steve. And yes, I did write a prayer and stick it in the wall, and it was just an amazing encounter for me, one that really changed my life. And oftentimes I'd reflect as I was praying for Israel, my time there and the different experiences that I had while I was there. It just gives you a different perspective. But if you can't go, listen, you know, you can take a virtual tour at any time and just, you know, see and experience for yourself firsthand, because there's so many things in the media today that try to demonize the Jewish people. I mean, it's just really horrific. It's a continual onslaught. It's a continual attack. And one of the ways that you can bless Israel is by actually going and experiencing and seeing for yourself, whether that's, you know, like I said, showing up or actually watching, you know, some sort of media that helps you to connect to the people more. And once you understand the people, once you've eaten their food, I've had falafels for the first time in Israel, really good. You get to, you know, understand these are the people of the Bible. These are God's people. You know, these were the Israelites. And it's just, again, an amazing thing.
You know, it's powerful, too, because it's just like a lot of times, you know, you're saying that we hear so much about Israel, and a lot of it is not true. And it's the greatest source of Israel is Israel itself. The greatest source for the Jewish people is the Jewish people themselves. And it's like to see these people in their hometown, and just like you're saying, you're hearing the man say that you're seeing them live their everyday life. And it's like these are human beings that God loves as well. And it's like to see them for who they are, it's going to transform your life.
Yeah, one quick note on that. I remember being in Tel Aviv in a hotel, and I'm looking over the balcony. This is at midnight. I guess we just flown in, and I'm kind of getting settled, and I'm pinching myself because I'm like, man, I am in Israel. And I stepped out on the balcony, and one of the things you always hear is that, oh, it's so unsafe to be in Israel, so unsafe. And I'm standing in the balcony, Steve, looking, you know, down, and I see children. It's like midnight, and they're just playing, small little kids riding the little bikes and people outside and just relaxing. It was like a spring evening, and I'm thinking, God, you know, this is amazing. You know, I felt safe while I was there, you know, and it took me a few days because in the beginning, you know, they'll try to pump you up like, oh, this is dangerous. I'm like guarding my bag, you know. But after a couple of days, I go, you know what? This is okay. I'm good. I feel right here. So go to Israel if you can. But Steve, talk to us about what's happening with child bombers. I mean, we're seeing, you know, ISIS and still these terrorist attacks. But some of the most horrific things, I mean, if it wasn't bad enough, some of the things we're doing now to use children.
Yeah.
Tell us more about what's happening.
One of the things, you said that exactly. It's just like we're seeing so much in the news. It's what's happening with terrorism all around the world. And one of the things that we're not aware of, too, is that there are children in these communities. And those that are serving in our armed forces is that they see this every day, that children are not only being used, but they're being kidnapped. They're being basically stolen from their families, from their lives. And they're being brought into these just terrorist organizations, Boko Haram, ISIS, and the many other lists goes on and on and on. And then they're being just brainwashed to just bring about just evil things. And CBN just did an interview about this, and they talked about this. And it's just a perspective that we have to understand is happening, because it might not be a mindset that you can just put your understanding on now or in your culture, but it's happening every single day. And I want you to watch this.
You're wrong.
This was one of the most disturbing scenes in the hit movie American Sniper. To save American soldiers from certain death, sharpshooter Chris Kyle targets and kills a child terrorist. That movie scene was not simply Hollywood fiction. It depicted a real-life situation in the midst of war and the agonizing choice made by Kyle. And now a new United Nations report confirms an alarming increase in the use of child bombers by Islamic extremists. According to UNICEF, in northern Nigeria, the Islamic terror group Boko Haram has increased the number of child bombers used in attacks from 4 to 44. 75% were girls. Many of them have been kidnapped, like the 276 Chibok schoolgirls abducted 2 years ago. During an interview with CBN News, Ithaca University professor P.A. Soyinka Arawele called on progressives and Muslims to deal with the hard truth about Islam and terrorism.
Those who are Muslims today might have to do some critical self-assessment of the reality of how the faith is being utilized to wage war against their fellow citizens.
And not just by Boko Haram, but also by the Islamic State. The Voice of America reports an Iraqi Kurdish commander says ISIS now has two or three training centers in Mosul, Iraq, where children as young as 8 are being taught to carry out suicide attacks. Some Muslims are now questioning those who refuse to condemn such actions. Saudi Arabian TV host Nadine El-Budair made a stinging rebuke of those she called Muslim hypocrites. She said it's time for Muslim apologists to realize violence and terrorism have emerged from the Islamic environment.
لماذا يصر المشايخ والمحللون والكتاب والصحافة
وكل مسؤول عربي على استخدام الضمير هم عند الإشارة لمنفذي الهجمات.
And now more than ever, Islamic extremists are training and using an alarming number of the most innocent in society, children, to commit acts of terror. Gary Lane, CBN News.
This is happening as of right now, and this is to understand this reality. It helps you get empathy for our service members too. And it's just like, you can't fathom seeing a child with a missile in their hand, with a gun in their hand. But I will tell you that a bullet does not see any age by a finger. A bullet, a missile, all responds the same way. And these children, these are human beings that God loves. And to think about that, and it's just like, this is horrible.
Talk to us about that, because you served two tours in Iraq.
Yeah.
Tell us what it was like for servicemen to be able to look at this reality, which just kind of just messes with your mind, your paradigm, because you realize that this child is a victim, but at the same time, this child is going to victimize other people. So talk to us about that dilemma.
That was a huge, earth-shattering just realization for me. I remember we used to walk through houses and just kind of inspect the houses, talk to the people, go through villages, and just really build relationships everywhere that we were having missions. And in one particular house, I walked into a room and there were some cupboards, and I went to open up the cupboards and I went to kneel down, and I saw, you know how children just will kind of like doodle with crayons or markers? Well, this particular cartoon, I guess, that this child had drawn, the child wasn't in the room at the time, but it was someone with basically a rocket-propelled grenade, and they were shooting a missile at a Humvee.
Wow.
This is the life that a child sees in Iraq. Where in America, we're used to playing, PlayStation 2 and watching movies, and it's like, this is real life for people. You don't understand these things, and it's just like, when we see our service members coming home, this is the stress that they're dealing with, because many people have had to shoot because they were being shot at by a child. They were being shot at by a little girl. And it's just like, when are we going to wake up and just realize the fact that these mindsets are being just educated and just taught from a young age?
Yeah. And to someone to say that the jihadists are not using, Islam as their source for why they're employing all these tactics, this is what they're saying. They're saying it's jihad. They're getting it from the Quran, and these things have to be addressed, because this is an ideology that is continually to just wreak havoc on so many people, so much so that you have a TV host from Saudi Arabia coming out and condemning. Even the president of Egypt, General al-Sisi, brought all the clerics in and gave such a bold and courageous, talk with them, saying,
We need reformation now.
Because this is just getting out of hand. When we get back from this break, we're going to let you just hear what she had to say. I thought this was extremely bold for her to do that, but it was the right thing to do. More bold people need to step out and do the right thing, not what's convenient at the moment. But before we go to break, I do want to talk to you about our special offer. It's totally available for you for your partnership. Sign up for any amount. Become a VFN TV partner today. Watch this.
Become a VFN TV partner today. For your partnership for any amount, we have for you offer number 2004. Keep up your courage in the storms of life by having faith in the plans God spoke or showed He had for you. There can be nothing more discouraging, frustrating, or confusing than the storms and troubles that occur in our lives that contradict our destiny, which the Lord has spoken over us through His Word, written, prophetic words, visions, or dreams. It is at these moments we are faced with, in whom do we believe? Do we believe the trouble, the threats of the storms to destroy, or do we believe the Word of the Lord? In this teaching, we are able to peek back in time when we saw the disciples in a storm on the water and see how Peter was able to walk on the water as long as he believed, had faith in Jesus, and not the storm. We also see Paul, through a prisoner on a boat, was the only one who could keep all who were on board that ship alive, not because he had the strength of the boat, but because he had his faith in the words of God, the plan of God for his life. Finally, we'll learn how the Lord freed us from the false sense of responsibility many times we fall prey to, thinking it's our job to be worried or concerned about the ramifications of storms and troubles. It also speaks on the false concerns feeling like we'd be betraying ourselves, others, and the Lord if we actually kept a positive, cheerful, and confident attitude during the storms of life. You'll learn that couldn't be further from the truth. You'll discover how the Lord says about taking courage and being cheerful in the middle of the storm. Become a VFN TV partner today. For your partnership for any amount we have for you, offer number 2004. Keep up your courage in the storms of life by having faith in the plans God spoke or showed He had for you. Partner simply by going to VFNTV.com and select Partner Now and follow the prompts for your gift today. Or write to us at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or call us toll-free at 844-408-3688.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The classic wedding pictures, bride and groom gazing lovingly into each other's eyes. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and Jay Payleitner has a good reminder for us to remember those early days of our relationship.
I would have guys come up to me who were hurting. They would say, I don't know what happened to the girl I married. And I just want to grab them by the lapels and say, you know what? That girl you married, she's asking the same question. She's sharing your bed. She's in your home. She's saying, where did that boy go? Now, of course, women, they want a knight in shining armor. But they also need that boy they married sometimes. And we get too far away from that.
Now, there's a good suggestion for you. Pull out that wedding album and sit next to each other and look it over together. Be reminded once again of the reason you married each other. You'll find more encouragement for your journey at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel that we try to share, the conversation we're having with our listeners, we really try to seek the heart of God and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN torch.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us. We were talking before we went to the break about, you know, what's going on with jihad and now using children, but also, Steve, about this Saudi TV host.
Yeah.
That, I mean, the fact that she would speak up and be so bold as she was is pretty
very
amazing.
Very courageous, yeah.
Talk to us. How did this happen?
Well, I mean, you know, listening to actually just what we're talking about right now, it's just like, so many people have wanted to know, where are those that are speaking out against this terrorism? Where are those that are saying, you know, this is not right, this needs to stop?
We're Muslims.
Exactly.
That speak out against this, right?
Well, there is actually a TV host from Saudi Arabia. Her name is actually Nadine, and she does this very thing. And you have to think about the fact that the culture of the Middle East right now and how they so just oppress women.
Yeah.
And to see this woman speak with such bold, courageous words speaking out against these terrorist acts, it's just
refreshing.
Yeah, yeah. So we want you to watch this.
Whenever terrorism massacres peaceful civilians, the smart alecks and hypocrites vie with one another in saying that these people do not represent Islam or the Muslims. Perhaps one of them could tell us who does represent Islam and the Muslims. We witness people competing in an attempt to be the first to prove that everything that is happening has nothing to do with the Muslims and that the terrorists are highway robbers and homeless alcoholics and drug addicts. We all know that the number of the homeless in Europe is very high. They sleep in the streets and beg for alms. And some of them are alcoholics or drug addicts. But we do not expect these addicts or criminals to even consider coming here and blowing up a mosque or a street in our city. It is we who blow ourselves up. It is we who blow up others. Why do we shed our own conscience? Why do the sheikhs, the pundits, the journalists, and all the Arab officials insist upon not using their conscience when they point to the perpetrators? Don't these perpetrators emerge from our environment? Don't their families belong to our society? Didn't anyone of you know someone from your city, a neighbor? Someone from your street, a relative, a nephew, a grandson, a father, or a mother, go to Syria or Iraq to wage jihad. After the abominable Brussels bombings, it is time for us to feel shame and stop acting as if the terrorists are a rarity. We must admit that they are present everywhere, that their nationality is Arab and that they adhere to the religion of Islam. We must acknowledge that we are the ones who gave birth to them and we have made them to memorize the teachings of all the Salafi books. We must admit that these are the schools and universities that we established that told them that the others are infidels. We must admit that we all are our different sects and faiths, the Sunnis and the Shia, adhere to the one school and one school only, the freezing of the mind school. Don't ask, don't think, don't resist orders. Welcome to the Arab Mashriq. We should acknowledge that it is our religious upbringing that has driven these youth away from the Quran and has drawn them closer to its interpreters, to the point that a Muslim now has only 1,000 holy books from which he draws fatwas and information, whereas the Quran has been made intellectually inaccessible. What makes us laugh and cry at the same time is that people who spilled the blood walk at the dead man's funeral and cry. The people who encouraged the terrorists invented fatwas for them and called them to support their false rights in Syria and Afghanistan and Pakistan. In the Philippines and Morocco and America and Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Lebanon and Africa, and the list is endless with the last incident taking place in Europe. Now the old supporters of terrorism have the audacity to declare that they denounce bombings everywhere and that the killings of civilians constitutes an attack on the religion. Where are the sheikhs of yesterday? Why don't they have the courage to declare that they are the ones who said that jihad is obligatory and who legalized political wars using futile and disgraceful exeges, which permit killing, enslavement, and destruction?
Wow, this is so amazing and really refreshing, because this TV host, this reporter from Saudi Arabia, just kind of says it the way it is. She says, it's us. This is what we're doing, and it has to stop. And that's what it's going to take for Muslims in their own community say, you know, what is going on with the jihad? This thing has to be over with. And many are believing that we're going to see in our nation a 9/11 type of attack. We've already, you know, had an attack here recently in terms of what happened in San Bernardino, but one that involves a lot more people and a lot more damage. I mean, every life lost, is a huge deal. But they're wanting to do mass, terrorism on mass. And if they can shut the nation down, I think, if they could, they would.
Yeah. And we've had many reports, and we've talked about Kamal Saleem, who had said over 450,000, this is back in, I want to say, 2012 specifically, that are already in America. And you think about this, and it's just like, this is not to put someone one against the other. And it's just like, when you look at the book of Acts, remember Saul, he was a persecutor of the church and God moved mightily. And now we call him, his name is Paul, who pretty much wrote half the New Testament. So you think about it, it's just like God laid down his life for every single one of these who are waging jihad in the name of their religion. And it's like, they're in America. Now we have the opportunity to share the gospel to them. We have the opportunity to tell them that Jesus Christ died for you and that he loves you too.
With that in mind, tell us what's going on with Steve, yes. Pastor Stephen Curry.
Yes.
In Israel, yeah. Believe, right? In Jerusalem.
Well, there are Arabs in Israel right now that are coming to Christ, which is such a significant event to understand. And there's people that are in Israel, like I said, who are receiving Jesus and they want to know more about Jesus. But when you listen to him, I want you to listen to basically how you're continually still hearing people trying to demonize who Jesus is. You're hearing people just smear who Jesus is and just blatant lies. So listen specifically to his name is Pastor Curry.
Hello and welcome to Ask the Source. I'm your host, Josh Reinstein, and we're here in a beautiful day in Jerusalem on our rooftop studio. My guest today is Pastor Steve Curry from Calvary Church in Jerusalem. Pastor Curry, thank you for being on the show. Pastor Curry, tell our viewers a little about what is Calvary Church in Jerusalem?
Our church consists of Arab believers who come from traditional Christian background, even from other faith on the Arab side of things, who want to learn more about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who want to know more about the Christian faith, and want to learn, understand better how they can understand acceptance, tolerance, and forgiveness and love.
Pastor Curry, there's been a lot of misinformation about what's happening in the Middle East. Christians are under attack like never before. They're being slaughtered all over the region. Yet in Israel, the Christian population grows every year, unlike any other country here. Yet there's still condemnation about Israel regarding its Christian population. Where is this all coming from?
Sure, brother. You know, the way I answer this is, the way I answer this with Realm comparing Israel to the Middle East is that Christians in Israel are stable. Christians in Israel have a stability. Christians in Israel have rights. They can travel. They can go back and forth. Christians within the land of Israel are looked at as human beings, regardless of what faith or what race they're from.
And what about the rest of the Middle East?
When you compare Israel to the rest of the Middle East, the problem you're facing is Christians are afraid to say they're Christians. Some Christians have to say they're Muslim just to simply go under the radar and to be able to get along with everybody else.
You know, 2 hours drive from here in Damascus, people are being slaughtered just for being Christians. They can either pay a bribe, they can convert to Islam, or they'll be beheaded. Those are the three options, yet you don't hear much about that. Why is there so much silence?
You know, Josh, the world, they try to compare some of the Christians in this land of community who live on the Judea Samaria West Bank community, they call them. They try to compare some of their struggles, which is traveling back and forth through roadblocks and checkpoints. They try to compare that to Christians who are being beheaded and slaughtered around the Middle East. Yes, there's some kind of troubles here that can be better resolved, better fixed. But you can't compare a Christian Arab in this land who has a minute problem with crossing paperwork when you're comparing it with a Christian 2 hours away who's being slaughtered and their daughters are being raped and kidnapped for being Christians. There's no comparison there. You cannot compare the two.
There's also a very alarming education being taught by the PA of revisionist history that Jesus was actually a Palestinian, that he was a Palestinian martyr, even though he was born hundreds of years before the creation of Islam. Why are people buying into this?
You know, I tell people, it's a good question, Josh. I tell people, I really don't care what somebody portrays someone to be. I really don't care what somebody draws an image of somebody who he is just to support a cause. We have to look at the facts. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah, from the seed of Jesse. Mary was a Jew. Joseph was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. This is not a political statement. This is a biblical factual statement. And Jesus' allegiance was to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His allegiance was to his Judaic Christian roots, Judaic roots, we must say. So whatever somebody tries to portray it, it's a silly narrative to support a political cause. And I don't like that. I personally resent that because Jesus Christ was never a politician. He was a man that taught people to go and seek after the heart of the Father. And that is my answer to that.
Well, it's even worse than that, I would say, because in Bethlehem, where the Christian community community since the PA took control has been decimated from 70% to something like 5 to 6%. They're actually having conferences called Christ on the Checkpoint, where American pastors are coming in, all magnanimous, saying, oh, you know, we got to help Christians in Israel, when really it's the Christians in the PA that are the victims. How are they doing this?
That is the differentiation that we have to understand. That's why I said earlier is that you have to differentiate Christians living within Israel and then Christians living within the West Bank, Judea, Samaria, and some call it the Palestinian community. We have to differentiate the two, because an Arab Christian, Israeli Arab Christian, or Palestinian Israeli Arab Christian, however somebody wants to, whatever the narrative is, that lives within the Israeli border under Israeli government, they have the right to go to a police station and complain about a Jew, or even complain about another neighboring Arab. In the Palestinian community, Christians in the Palestinian community, they look around them and they realize, like you had mentioned, that the pendulum has completely swapped from 75 to 80% at one point Christian to today, when you lump Bethlehem within the community to less than 20% within, when you add all the cities combined in the city, within the city of Bethlehem. So when you approach this, the dilemma is that the Palestinian community have to understand that to be able to cry to the world for help, they have to first start to help each other from within.
Pastor Corey, there are literally tens of millions of people watching this show. What message do you have for our viewing audience?
My message to the viewing audience is, if God chose this land, and he upon the whole globe, the universe that we live in, he chose this piece of property for us to be in, for his to be his promised land, then why did it not be your promised land? So I want to challenge you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace, for they shall prosper, that bless thee. Pray for the people group in this land. When you pray for the Jews, you also pray for the Arabs, because the problem that lies within, it's a heart issue. So you cannot love the Arab and hate the Jew. That's not biblical. That's not right. And neither is the opposite. My message to you is to come visit Israel, to pray for Israel, pray for the Jewish people, pray for the Christian community, pray for the Arab community, that the hearts of the people here might be changed, so that we can see a united land, a united country with the heart of the Father.
That is so, so good, because you know what? We got to begin to start seeing ourselves not as global citizens, as global Christians. Listen, God wants every single person on the face of the earth to know him, whether they're Arab, whether they're Jewish, whether they're from Asia, no matter Africa, no matter where they're from, God wants every man to be saved. And so we, it's not a political thing. It's very simple. Heaven full, hell empty. That's it. That's the goal. Everyone to know Jesus Christ, every person, and pray in that way. Steve, talk to us about Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and the mystery of Ishmael.
Yes. Well, you know, as we're talking about, you know, what's going on in the Middle East, a lot of times it's like we see the surface issue, but we don't understand the fact that what we're seeing right now is nothing more than basically a family issue that took place thousands of years ago between Isaac and Ishmael. To hear Jonathan Kahn bring such a clarity, you're going to understand with so much understanding why what we're seeing now in headlines. Listen right now.
The mystery of Ishmael.
Yes. Now, this is prophetic. This has affected every one of our lives. I mean, every to this day, you're talking about news reports, is all linked to a mystery that goes back to the tents of Abraham. And it's amazing. The whole world, the peace of the world hangs on a mystery that happened in Abraham, I mean, this desert dweller tent with these two sons. And it's behind everything from Islam to Muhammad to Osama bin Laden to Yasser Arafat to the threats on America, all the way back to Abraham's tent. I mean, really, every answer is in the Bible. I mean, you know, Bible explains everything. And so we go back to Abraham. Abraham, Genesis, God gives him the promise, I will give you a son. A great nation will come from you. But as we know, Sarah comes up with an idea. Well, God's not doing it, so you know what? We got to help God out, and that's always a danger sign. You're going to help God out, and you go into the handmaid Hagar, and you'll have a baby through her, because I can't have a baby. So he does, and what happens comes out, Ishmael. Here's Abraham's firstborn son, Ishmael. Now, Ishmael, you know, is there. Now, keep in mind, he is there for years before there's anybody else. He is viewed as the heir to Abraham. I mean, when God speaks to Abraham and says, I'm going to do a great thing, what Abraham says is, yes, Ishmael will be the one. So everybody thought it was Ishmael. Everybody thought Ishmael was the one of the promise, including Abraham, Hagar had to have, Sarah had to have. So they thought this was the way. So he's growing up as the one. Now, at one point, God gives a prophecy concerning Ishmael. Now, God promises God will make Ishmael a great nation as well. He'll give him much. But he also says he'll be wild. He also says his sword will be against everybody. His hand will be against everybody. So it's going to be a wild kind of thing going on there with Ishmael. But he's going to be blessed. But the thing is, but keep in mind, now here's what happens. Then, all of a sudden, God comes back and says, now, no, you, Sarah, old Sarah, you are going to have a baby. And Sarah says, laughs, and God says, Sarah, why'd you laugh? And Sarah says, I didn't laugh. He says, no, you did. And the name of the baby is going to be called Laughter, because they laughed. So in Hebrew, that's Yitzhak, which is Isaac. So you have Ishmael, and you have Isaac. Now, what happens with this thing? What happens is, because of the conflict between the two sons, it comes to a point where Sarah says, and then God says, no, Abraham, it's okay, it's my will. You're going to have to send away Hagar and Ishmael. Okay, so Hagar and Ishmael go away to the desert. God takes care of them and gives a promise again. He confirms, I'm going to make a great nation. But think of something. We don't usually think about this. Imagine you're Ishmael, okay? You're Ishmael, and you're growing up as the son, the beloved son of your father. And then all of a sudden comes another child. Now, it's sibling rivalry is a problem to begin with, but here's another child. Now, he's the one. So, first of all, what you're going to be feeling? Probably jealousy, probably resentful. Then you lose everything. When you're about 13, you lose everything. You lose the birthright. You lose what looks like your inheritance. You lose your father. You lose all that honored position. You lose all that. What is that going to, and he's just becoming a teenager now. What is that going to do to him? What's that going to do to his being? What's that? And from him come much of the Arab peoples, as we know. Now, let me just say something, the mystery, who is it today? Now, there's some who say, no, there's no question, from Ishmael came the Ishmaelites. From the Ishmaelites, there's no question that the blood of the Ishmaelites is throughout the Arab world, whether there's also other blood as well. But we have ancient records from the Babylonians, even from the Assyrians, that link up the Ishmaelites with the Arab peoples. We even have records of Arab peoples before Muhammad, before Islam came, where they said, we are the children of Ishmael. Before, Ishmael, not when Muhammad came, he said, I'm from Ishmael, we're from Ishmael. So now, no matter what, they've taken up the mantle of Ishmael. But the point is that, number one, the Arab civilization had some great, wonderful things, and I love Arab people, and I love when they get saved. One of my greatest blessings as a Jewish believer is to find an Arab believer who loves the Lord. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. Mm-hmm. But there's a mystery going on throughout history. You have the people here, and clearly the blood of Ishmael is there among the Arabic world, and the mantle of Ishmael, they've taken up. If you read the Quran, it focuses a lot on Ishmael. It says Ishmael is the one. It says Ishmael, not Isaac. It says Abraham offered up Ishmael. It says Ishmael and Hagar, they came to Mecca. And then Ishmael died in Mecca, the whole thing. So you've got this whole Ishmael thing going on, the spirit of Ishmael, all that. Now, but to understand this, what does this reveal? Number one, about what's happening. Number one, God says, I will make a great nation. So God said that way back 4,000 years ago. He's done it. The Arab peoples are one of the most populous peoples in the world, number one. Mm-hmm. But number two, also, it's telling you from Genesis, from the tents of Abraham, that the destiny of the Arab people is linked to the Jewish people. They're all there together. That's why there's a link between, Arabs and Jews are cousins. You wouldn't know it because the enemy so destroyed this thing, so used it. But in the end, they're going to be back together. In the end, there's a good ending to this. The end of the story, you have Isaac and Ishmael actually together burying Abraham at the end. That's kind of a foreshadow. But right now, you have they're linked to Ishmael. But what else do you see? You have among this, you have Ishmael. Think about him. He lost his father. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you have in Islam? You have God has no son. They cannot call God father. The Quran, you cannot, it calls him the merciful, cannot call God father. Why? Because they lost the father years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like saying, well, if we don't have the father, nobody has a father. You look at the Temple Mount, what do you see? It says, on the Temple Mount, on that dome, it says, God has no son. So it's so much so it's going to be against anyone who says, I'm a child of God. God is my daddy. It's going to be against all that. It's going to be against Isaac, going to be against all that. Also, with this, you want to look at all these things. There's a rage in much of this history. In much of, the, not all, but in much of Arabic history, much of Islamic, there's a rage, there's a fear. Why? Because it's all, the answer is in Ishmael. Ishmael would have a rage from that time on. He would have an anger from that time on. He'd have a resentment. One of the things about in this, you see this spirit in terrorism, it's a resentment about anybody who has privilege. It's a resentment of anyone who says, I'm loved. It's a resentment against the Jewish. But why? Why against the Jewish people? Because that's Isaac. You know. So it's Ishmael and Isaac. And it's also about America. Because, first of all, if you're born again, if you're a Christian, your link is through Isaac. Your link is through Isaac. Messiah is the son of the Father. He's the beloved of the Father. So there's going to be a war against that as well. There's going to be a war against America because you have all that together. You have Jew, you have Christian, and you have what looks like blessing. So you've got all that. So therefore, when you have all those factors that are all explained in the tents of Abraham, you've got a spirit that says, I'm the outcast one. So that leads to radicalism. That leads to, I can't get it this way, so I'm going to get it this way. I'm going to get it by the sword. I'm going to take it back. Why is there such a focus on the land of Israel? It's all there in that mystery. Why? Because that was the inheritance of Isaac from Abraham. That's what Ishmael thought should have been his, the land of Israel. Now, the Arab people have much more land, have gigantic areas. They only just don't have, but there's a concern about this little land because that's what Ishmael lost in his mind. That's what he lost. It's the land of Israel. What also was the promise? The covenants, all that came from Abraham to Isaac. The covenants, the revelation of God, that came through Isaac, came through Israel. So what did Ishmael do? Well, we're going to have our own revelation. We're going to have our own. We're going to have our own religion. And we're going to take back everything. And we're going to say they all belong to us. Now we take the prophets. We take the Jesus, but we'll call him a prophet. We'll take everything you have, but we'll say we'll make it, and we're better. We've got more. That's exactly the spirit of Ishmael.
It matters. It matters how you follow God's instructions, and that you don't help God out by doing something else. You know, think about it. All the problems that they're facing in the Middle East was because somebody felt, Sarah, that, you know, that they're going to help, and Abraham, they're going to help God out fulfill what he wanted to do in them and through them. And it's so important that we just say, God, what is it that you want to do? I'll wait on you, and I won't try to do this because, you know, right now we're seeing all of this conflict still unfold, and I believe that you know, there's going to be revival all through the Middle East. In fact, they say that in Iran, there's so many believers, you know, Christians in Iran, and many Iranians are coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's easy sometimes for us in the church to just look at Israel and neglect so many of the Arab people, you know, in the Middle East. Listen, I want you to ask God to burden you for a heart for the Arab people, that God would save them, that God would bring them into the family, and that all just, they would come to know him. They would come to know him. And I believe there's a revival coming in the Middle East. It's going to be unparalleled, and it's going to be a wonderful, beautiful thing. Because you got to imagine, it is the Father's heart. It is the Father's heart for them to come to a saving knowledge and really to see the entire wave hit the entire just world, really globally.
You know, and as I hear these words, I'm reminded of Romans 1:16, and it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. The world sees different Gentiles, but the Bible says only one Gentile. Either we're Jewish or we're not. And it's just like, you might be Arab right now, and it's like you've been told your whole life that you can't call God Father. Well, you can, and his son, Jesus Christ, died for you, and he loves you, and he's got a plan for your life.
Listen, we want to take this time to pray for you. We encourage you, please pray for us. Let's just go to prayer.
Yes.
God, we just thank you again for this amazing opportunity to be here with our viewers. And Lord, we just lift up the entire Middle East to you right now.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you will send revival, that you would send an awakening, Lord, not just to Israel, Lord, but all the Arab nations that surround Israel, Lord. We pray over Iran and Egypt and Lebanon, Lord, and Saudi Arabia, God, and Afghanistan and Iraq, Lord, and Libya. And we just say, Lord, send the third great awakening that starts in America, but let it spread all around the world, Lord, to Syria, Lebanon, Yemen. And we just say, more, Lord, in Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. God bless you, and thank you so much for watching. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God, and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice, and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better. Be absolutely resolved to know his voice better. And we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.